Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. With me tonight is Danny Tate. And we are broadcasting live.
Awareness has increased dramatically.
Guardianship, conservatorship.
The much needed changes here further keep the momentum building. Black hole of the legal system.
I do my own thing and do my own talking.
Right on.
Here, guardianship, conservatorship.
The much needed changes.
Here,
right on.
Here,
here. Big secret, big dirty secret. Get out.
Conservatorship.
Get out.
I do my own thing and do my own talking.
Right on.
I do my own thing and do my own talking.
Right on.
So I appreciate you making the extra effort to get here. Welcome to the show, everybody.
And I want my rights.
And we just started off with the wrong promo again. Danny Tate is not with us tonight. And if I ever do this right again, I just don't know what I would do between getting knocked off the air, thrown off the air, cut off, playing the wrong promos. I'm surprised we're here at all, but we are. And tonight, our show is Whistleblowers. It's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit that occurs annually every July in Washington, D.C. And our guest tonight is Sheila White. And for those of you who follow the show, and I know so many of you do, you've heard Sheila speak before, and she is the lady who took on Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railway Company in June of 1997 after a systematic pattern of sexual harassment and gender discrimination on a daily basis. And the thing was that she did that made such a difference was she documented everything as it happened. She documented it, even what the weather was that day. So this all added when she went to court, she sued. This is one of our champions. She sued, took her 9.5 years all the way to the Supreme Court, and she won. And she wrote a book about this journey called Fighting the Giant, and it's available at Amazon. And on June 22, 2006, the United States Supreme Court made a landmark decision in Sheila White's favor, ruling 9-0 in the case she brought against the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway Company. She worked in the Tennessee rail yards, one woman alongside many men. Her book describes how she learned to stand up for herself and how she helped the legal system defend her from the discrimination, retaliation, and humiliation she experienced. Sheila is also available for speaking engagements, and you can contact her for information at swhite50@yahoo.com. Sheila, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you back, especially with everything that's going on out in the public today with all the innuendos and scandals and everything. So I thought it was good to have you on because you've got firsthand experience working in this kind of atmosphere, what this can amount to, what it can do to you. What's your take on everything that's going on?
Oh, it's horrific. It's something else. The floodgates are open now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a lot of concerns about that.
Yes, I do too.
And first of all, thank you for inviting me to the show, Marty.
Oh, always. Love to have you on. Yeah.
Okay.
And Sheila, you know, one of the things that I tried to say in your promo there was the fact that you documented everything. On a daily basis, you documented everything. And there isn't a woman out there that's been out in the workplace for any length of time that has not, at some point in time, at least once, been harassed, groped, pushed into a cupboard. You know what I'm saying? This hasn't happened to you. Crude remarks made to you. Obscene gestures made in front of you. This has gone on forever. And up through the, I would say, the 60s and the 70s, it was just, you had to expect it. If you went out into the workforce, you had to expect it, that this was going to happen and that nobody was going to do a damn thing about it. And I think things began to change. This culminated, I think, with your case and, like you say, your documentation of what went on. My concern with today's atmosphere is, as we spoke about, these women are coming out 20, 30 years after the fact, some even longer, and saying back, way back when, with no evidence that this ever actually happened other than they say so. And I hate to even question women, having been subjected to this myself at various times. I hate questioning, but why would you wait till somebody has reached such a lofty position, obviously has accumulated some kind of power associated with that, and then come forward and say something? Why didn't you say something way back when these people weren't near so powerful? See, that concerns me. And the other thing, as I said, is the fact that nobody is actually mounting a defense against. Nobody's saying, wait a minute, other than a few people, and it's just half-hearted, it's not what you would expect. They're just simply walking away from these high-profile positions and jobs. And Sheila, like I say, there's some kind of purge going on. For what reasons, I don't know. My main concern is, what is this going to be replaced with? What is the actual intent here, and why are these people being got rid of? Because it's people on the left and right, both. You know, we just saw Senator Franken up here. So it's on both sides. What do you think?
Well, it's a concern to me. Like you said, women are coming out the woodwork for 40 years, 20 years, and I like to know where's the proof and evidence, because it means to me, like, anybody on the job could say you did something to them.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
I like to see some proof of something where they have documented or could prove that that actually happened to them. So,
yes.
So, far as like video witnesses that could tell, but everybody's jumping on that bandwagon now because the doors are wide open. So that's a great concern for me. When I had to fight for 9 years to prove my case and myself.
Yes.
So
Yes.
So I don't know what's going on with this, but it's a runaway train. And I don't know when it's going in, because it's happening every single day. Somebody is saying something.
Well, they are, Sheila. And see, the other thing is, to me, this looks like a big diversionary tactic. And it looks like people are being sacrificed so that we're focused on this one issue over here. Like you say, this concern about these decades having passed, and you never said a word. You know, you sat quietly.
Yes, is there a stipulation on years or whatever on this? That's what I need to know. I mean,
yeah,
for 40
the statute
years,
of limitations. Yeah.
Yes. So that's my biggest concern. And the women are caught in that's actually caught in the middle of all of this, but they're not being heard because they're not movie stars or work for the White House.
Right.
So if you're not important, your case is not going to get heard.
There you go.
So, it's a hush-hush.
Yes. Now, I've just got an email asking about your book. Her book is about this journey from when she started reporting this, when she started working in the documentation, and she started suing them and ending up at the Supreme Court. And Sheila is the one, when we had her on the first time, I almost jumped through the headset, that she was made to hold a flashlight while a supervisor took a leak. And he'd have left there a eunuch if it had been me. But she's trying to keep her job, and I would imagine the shock of the moment. This is, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back. It had gotten to the point where this man became this obnoxious and this blatant in her abuse of her. And this all was documented, like I say, right down to what the weather was that day, who she was working with. She assembled such a documentation of what was going on, they couldn't fight it. They tried to, but they couldn't. And so I do feel like she is someone who can speak to this, because she did it the right way. And she took on the fight. She didn't just make the accusation. She took on the fight, and she won. And it wasn't because she made spurious claims for which there was no evidence. She had to prove everything that she said. In today's atmosphere, they simply have to make the argument, the comment, the accusation, that this happened all these years ago, but I'm just coming out about it now. Why would you come out when this person has gotten so much power that they could squash you like a bug?
Yes.
I'm not buying it.
But
Sheila,
I think this is...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was getting ready to say, a lot of them that work for big companies and big firms, and if you got a name to follow you, you don't have to worry about it because they're going to settle out of court so they could get that off of their list. So that's a lot going on if you notice who doing the suing.
Yes.
And if you're in a part of that group, you just might, it's class action lawsuit they have against these big companies. So if your name on the list, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Without proving yourself.
Right. And that's the thing, too. This has gone on, like I say, forever. There isn't a woman out there that has gone out into the workplace at some point in time has not encountered this. And no, you don't have to be pretty or anything. You just have to be there. You just have to be somebody that's using the women's bathroom. And, you know, that's all it takes. You just have to be there and the wrong gender. As far as they're concerned. And I think this all lends to the conversation that women have always been viewed as second-rate citizens, subjugant to men. And this is kind of tipping the apple cart. But, Sheila, my instincts tell me this is a diversion because we got these movie stars and we got these big high-profile politicians and these big media celebrities. You know, Matt Lauer, man of the year, most, you know, desirable man on the planet. I don't know when the hell that happened, but apparently sometime it did. And he never looked that good to me, but apparently it did to somebody else. And but do you see what I'm saying? And they're just simply walking away. Well, what is the other issue they seem to be dodging? And that is the pedophilia that goes on in Washington, D.C.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is a perfect diversion to keep you from going after that, to keep you from looking at that, and the media from being forced to report on that. Isn't this the perfect diversion? You get titillation because it's all about sex. And he did this, and he did that, and he did something else, and he may have. I don't know. I wasn't there.
And then you got to remember that a lot of them probably jumping on a bandwagon, but they were the ones that was giving the way for promotions. I'm not ashamed to say that, but it's a lot of women out there that would do anything to get a better increase or a better job position. So that's what I'm saying. The door is wide open for anybody who wants to be on that bandwagon.
Well, you remember when that Billy Bush came out from a recording he'd made 5 or 10 years before with Trump on that bus. Trump not realizing the mic was still live, and making the remark about how you could walk up to women and grab them, you know, in their lady parts.
Yes.
And women went nuts. They went nuts. And we had this big, huge, you know, I called it the vagina rebellion in my article, women out there screaming about this. But what they missed was his following comment, which is what they should have been upset about, which is what you just said, Sheila. And he said, and they'll let you do it. When you're rich, they'll let you do it. That's exactly what you just said. There are always women who give the rest of us a black eye who will stop, drop, and roll to get where they want to go.
That's right.
And that's all he was saying. I have money, and because I have money, there are women who will allow me to do whatever
that's
I want to get what they want.
That's right.
And that's what they should have been upset about, was those women who participated willingly in this system. And I just feel like if you're going to do that, fine. If that's how you can get ahead, do it. If you can live with that, do it. Because these men are doing it every damn day of the week.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm one of those women go ahead.
No, and they also forget about the little ones, like the ones in factories, everyday job, working hard. They having it tougher, but there's nobody to speak out for them because everything is on Hollywood and the White House. If you got a name, or a big position. But this is happening everywhere, like the military. You know, they are silent because of all what's going on, you know, in high-profile places. So you're forgetting about the small people that's actually going through this.
Right.
And it makes it harder for them because they will have to prove their case. They will have to prove their case if they want to sue. Like, you know, like restaurants, Walmart, and, you know, factory workers and all will have to prove it because they don't have a high-profile job that will show, you know, so... And mostly those people going to be like one or two people. It's not going to be like a whole class action that will come out on these jobs.
Right.
If they do, that would shock me. So while the door is open, if they are out there, they need to band together.
Well, Sheila, you know, that's like I've had several of the women from forestry, especially Region 5, come on the show. And to hear what these Lisa Donnelly, who's been fighting this for more than 20 years, and now heads up a large group of women who have been raped and beat up and molested in the middle of forest fires sometimes, have been put in one of these, I don't know what you call it, like a camp or something these firefighters stayed in, had like bunkers in it. And there were four female firefighters. So they put one female in each bunker full of men. And two of them, at least, were raped. And when they reported it, it was, well, what'd you expect? What do you mean, what did I expect? You're the one that put me in there.
Yes.
Well, what did you think was going to happen? Excuse me, this is unforgivable. And there again, we're concentrating, like you said, Sheila, on the celebrities, on the politicians, on these big media names. And then here these women have been screaming bloody murder for more than 20 years about the exact same thing happening in the forestry service.
Yes,
ma'am. And, you know, you don't hear that. That Chavez guy that headed up that hearing December 1st of last year. That congressman and Elijah Cummins was on that committee and just reamed the USDA over what was happening to these women. And then shortly after that, Chavez resigned from the House and went to work for Fox News. Now, he had hammered USDA hard about the sexual abuse going on in forestry. And Sheila, he gets to Fox News. I sent him several emails and said, you know, since you held this hearing, you know what's going on. When are you going to report on this? They won't even respond to me.
He
won't say a word about it.
I understand, because I've reached out repeatedly to these movements that's going on, and they emailed me back, said, thank you for opening the doors up for the women's. Continue your fight. That be the end of it. So, I understand.
It just, I know. I think about, you know, I've got, you know, two young granddaughters that are just out in the workforce now. And even the older of the two told me on her job, she works with the public a lot. She said, I can't believe, and of course she's beautiful. She has no choice. She's my granddaughter. But you know what I say? But she said, I just cannot believe, she said, men all ages just bang, 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 bang. She said, I get so tired of it. And she said, you know, oh, you're cute. Oh, boy, I'd like to. And she said, I just look at him. And she said, but she says, is it going to be like this forever? And I said, unfortunately, honey, it is. And you have to learn to deal with it. And I said, the best way you can deal with it is get a good right hook. And she's short like I am. And she said, yeah, but Nanny, a lot of these guys are really tall. And I said, yeah, but remember, you're short enough to hit the important stuff. And so, you know, but I said, you've always got to keep your distance. And I hate to have to tell my girls that. Keep your distance.
No, I
be careful what you say.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody should educate their girls and young men, but I feel we should educate our children more. focus on it more, what's going on out there. So you're doing the right thing, educator.
But I told her, I said, you always keep a distance. Mm-hmm. And I said, because you have to remember, as a woman, you cannot overpower that man. You
Thank
cannot.
You.
I said, on your best day, you can't whip him. And I said, so you have to keep your distance. I said, if for no other reason, so you can run. And mm-hmm. she just kind of looked at me and she said, oh, she said, I had to think I got another 40, 50 years of this. I said, uh-huh. And I said, it's going to get worse the older you get. And I said, and age does not have any bearing on it. How you look has no bearing on it. It's the fact that you're female. And I said, we have a history in this country, most particularly in the workplace, of abusing women. And so, I mean, and I think that's a sad statement to make about us, Sheila, as a nation. I think it's a...
Right, right, but you're telling the truth. And this has been going on before. I was born, you was born. It's been going on forever. So
yeah,
I would like to know when it's coming to the end, where they really buckle down on this for proof, show proof of all this stuff. Cause too much, too many, and too much going on with this.
Yes, and the thing is, if it's like in the Trump, let's go back to the Trump thing again, Sheila.
Okay.
The one woman who claimed on an airplane he slid his hands up under her skirt. Well, if you'd have touched me on an airplane, much less slid your hand up under my jeans, because I don't wear skirts, there'd have just been a terrible fight on that airplane. And why didn't you say something then? Why didn't you yell out then?
Right.
Why, there were other people, obviously, there's a whole plane load of people. Why didn't you stand up then when you had witnesses? Well,
that's
it turned
right.
out she came back after the election and recanted what she said and said she had been paid by the Clinton campaign to make those charges against him. Now, that is not in defense of Donald Trump, because this is a man, in my estimation, who's a true misogynist. He hates women. I think he always has hated them, mostly because he wants them and he has to buy them to get them. And you know, because if this was just an average, everyday guy out there and didn't have the clout he's got, there's not one woman in every 500 to stop and throw water on him if he was on fire. Now, that's just the truth of it. But because he's got money and position and power, he can buy what he wants. And there again, we get back to these women who will sell themselves off to get what they want. And it makes
right.
the rest of us look like a bunch of idiots. I've always said this about prostitutes, Sheila. You know, people down prostitutes all the time, and actually, they're pretty savvy. At least they're getting paid for what they're doing. The rest of us, we're giving it away for free.
That's right.
You know,
right. I agree 100%. Yes,
yep.
ma'am. They're getting paid.
So who was the idiot here? You know, it stuff like this just absolutely rocks me, the duplicity of it, for one thing. Now, can you imagine, Sheila, on your job when you were working for that railway company, if you'd have walked up and grabbed that supervisor by his junk, what would have happened? What would have happened to you?
I would have been fired, and all kind of charges would have been swinging across my head.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And yet he got away with this. I want to ask you, whatever happened, did he keep his job? Did he lose his job? What happened there?
He stayed until he retired. He left way after I did, but they just moved him in another state to work. Yeah, but
that's what they do with
forestry,
too.
Yeah, they moved him away from me. Yeah, but it took the second time. You know, they still put me up on it to work with them until I complained when they said he went on suspension. And so they brought him back and put me right back up on them, and you know, I went straight to EEOC. So they took him, moved him out of town to work. But he still had a job. He had a job.
See, that's what happened in that forestry thing, too. They got all the way to Vilsack. Several of the whistleblowers, the women firefighters, got all the way and had a meeting with Vilsack. And he assured them he was going to fix this, which right after he met with them, he cut off all communication with whistleblowers. So the one lady that this pertained to goes back to work. This guy's gone. She finds out later on he didn't get fired. He got moved over to another branch of forestry, to another agency.
Right.
And he still had his job.
Correct.
I just think this is, and I'm going to tell you something else that bugs me to no end, and I think we talked about this a little bit, is the fact that these federal agencies, this is this practice of discrimination, whether it's gender, race, this molestation of women, this crap that goes on, is so pervasive in these federal agencies that each of them has to have an office of civil rights. Do you realize what a statement that is about the poor conditions within that agency that such an office would have to exist? And not only that, then we have an office of inspector general that also we have to pay for to make sure the Office of Civil Rights is doing its job, who's supposed to make sure that forestry is running in a way it's supposed to, and nothing is getting done. It just keeps going on like it did, and we just keep paying all these people. But Sheila, I just think that is, it's beyond ironic, and it's tragic in its own existence. We've got to have an Office of Civil Rights, and then we have to have an Office of Inspector General to oversee civil rights, because that's just how bad it is. And they're the ones, they're the ones leading the charge, and if they can't keep a lid on this, if they can't make that agency work right and make people at least treat you in a humane manner with respect, not because you're a woman, but because you're a fellow employee and you're entitled to that as a human being. If they can't do it, what chance do we have out here, like you say, at Walmart or, you know, these factories or anything else?
Yeah.
They don't have an Office of Civil Rights.
You're right about that. And another thing, what disturbs me, Margie, is that where were everybody when the floodgates, when I won that decision and opened the doors up, you didn't hear a word at all.
No.
That was an opportunity for them to move forward and for Congress to do what they needed to do. But my case wasn't important until it happened to one of them in their office. Now everybody jumping on the bandwagon.
When
the Supreme Court opened those floodgates, you did not hear any group of women come forward to support that, did you? I didn't hear it.
Not a one. Nope.
But you wait 15 or 10 years later to take one or two people to come out, and everybody talking now. But you had that opportunity when your justices opened those floodgates and nobody moved on it, even Congress. They could have done something then to do a bill. But now everybody wants to write a bill on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, Sheila, they cede power to these agencies, and it's under the non-delegation doctrine. They unlawfully cede their legislative power to these agencies, and they call it rulemaking. And they charge the agency with making the rules, which is backdoor lawmaking. And the rules somehow are supposed to be binding, and the regulations, on the public. Well, this is making law. Now, they're not, the separation of powers, they're not supposed to be doing this. That's Congress's job. But see, it gets Congress off the hook. And then the agency, which is set up to be something totally different than what you think it is, and doing something totally different than what you think it's doing, now sets about making all these rules and regulations. They post them on the Federal Register, which most people don't even know about. And once they're up there for 10 days, without objection, and even if they are up there with objection, it becomes law. And we found this out for a fact in 2010 when we were fighting that fake food safety bill. Mm-hmm. And they, when Dirty Harry Reid gutted that old recycling bill and put S-510 in as an amendment to that bill, replaced the entire text with S-510, passed it with his one unanimous vote, because the other 99 Democrats and Republicans voluntarily vacated the Senate chamber so he could do it. He passed it with his one vote, unanimous, without objection, because he wasn't going to object to his own crap, and it became law. But the filing on the Federal Register, the posting of that fort was codified into public law. There were at one point over 80,000 comments condemning them for this bill. And overnight, all but 30,000 of those disappeared. And then they went ahead and codified it into public law anyway. But this is how they do it. And it's all done. And then seeing that is they cede all their lawmaking power, their authority to regulate that agency to the agency, and which is a private corporation and just sets about doing whatever it damn well wants. And Congress says, oh, we can't do anything about it. You know, we can advise them, but we can't tell them what they have to do. Yes, you can tell them. Yes, you could. And you're right, Sheila. Congress could stop this if they would. They don't care because they're all doing the same thing somewhere or some way or another. I mean, look how many times they've got outed. You know, these congressmen have been outed for sending obscene texts to pages in the Senate and House. Coming on to these young men that work in there. And soliciting sex and everything else. This goes on continually. And I'm going to say something here that's probably going to sound a little off color to a lot of people, but I don't mean it this way. I mean it as an honest observation. Sheila, I cannot imagine being a man, and I'm so thankful that I'm not one, because apparently every 10 to 15 seconds, they're thinking, from my understanding, from psychologists and psychiatrists, is every 10 to 15 seconds their thoughts revert to their stuff. I'm so glad I'm not a man. I would hate to spend, you know, at least a quarter of my life thinking about what's behind my zipper. I don't understand this, and I guess it's because, you know, it's the man versus woman thing, and it is men versus women. And women are damn tired of being treated like a piece of property, like a piece of baggage. You're there, you have breasts, I get to grab them. No, hell, you don't. Mm-hmm. Well, you must have wanted me to, or you wouldn't have been here. No, I came here to work. What are you doing here? And, you know, it's just, I don't know. This has got to end. That's what I do know. It's got to end, Sheila. And like you say, in your own case, this landmark decision over what you had gone through, what you proved and documented, what you were forced to fight for 9.5 years, and not a peep about it on the news. Nothing.
No, ma'am. Not even nothing. My name. Yeah.
Nope.
And people say, who are you? You know, if I answer and they ask me, they don't know who I am or nothing about my mm-hmm. case. Not a thing. But you go
yep.
on the internet, you see all the great writings and reports of the big New York Times, uh-huh. Washington Post, but you never heard them come out and mention my case at all. It's all about the
yep.
Me Too. So it's just disturbing to me, very disturbing.
Yeah, and all of these shows, and I have to say, too, like shows like, well, I call him Dr. Shill, Dr. Phil, Oprah Winfrey, The View, all of this. They never said a word about it either.
No, ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? There's not a peep anywhere. And I did write to all of those shows, by the way, over the forestry women. And why don't you report on this? You're always talking about this, that, and something else. Why don't you? That can't even get a response.
No, ma'am.
I can't
no,
even
ma'am.
Get a response.
That's not important. That don't sell for them. That's not important. They worry about other stuff. I forgot the word you use, but they worry about what's going on in your house and who's dating who, you know. But important stuff,
yeah.
They're not doing stories on that.
Yeah, I agree. They're not. They're not
no.
doing anything. And it, there again, I think it's a sad statement, but you know, there again too, it serves a purpose. Because in today's climate, look at it today, with these women coming out with these charges, everything is, like they said back about the 60s, Sheila, sex, drug, and rock and roll. Well, now it's sex, drugs, and politics.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
If it isn't about something titillating, if it isn't something salacious, if sex isn't involved, they don't report it. They don't report
That's
it.
Right.
And
right.
The slimier the story is, the more you're going to hear about it.
Yes, ma'am. They love that.
Yeah. But I don't know. There's always going to be a war between men and women. But at what point do we draw the line in the sand and say, you know, it's all right that, you know, the gender squabble with each other, but that doesn't give you the right to abuse me.
That's right.
That doesn't give you the right to put your hands on me, to be obscene, you know, to do these things. You know, I mean, how many women do you hear going around flashing young kids? Pedophiles, 99.9% of the time, are males. It's a rare thing that a woman is. And, you know, the rapists, they're males. The problem is not with women. If you see where I'm going with this. The problem is not with women. The problem is with men, and it's because they've gotten away with this. And they still get away with it. They still get away with it. And they will spend every dime they got protecting these men. And they won't do anything to protect the women. And then you're marginalized, and you're minimalized, and you're made fun of. And, you know, like, what are you crying about? We've always done this. And we're going to keep doing it. You know, and I have a problem with that also. Just the general attitude, the fake concern from media outlets. This election down in Alabama, that Roy Moore, he didn't win it. But here is this racist, misogynistic man who has a history of abusing women, molesting young girls. It's been widely known, and this man's up talking about God and all of this stuff. Well, where was God when he was doing this? And I'm thankful he didn't get elected. I truly am.
Yes,
and
right.
But I thought he was for sure going to, and but he didn't. He didn't get elected.
A lot of people did, but it was a lot of his followers took the silence. Probably and voted the opposite way. That's how I see it.
Yes. Yep, they did too. That had to have been a sting, because that is exactly what happened, Sheila. People, they thought they, and he worked the black communities hard trying to get away from this racist history of his. And that didn't work either. And but they were so sure of themselves, they thought they had it in the can. You know, they thought they had convinced these people that he was new, improved, and he wasn't that way anymore. Well, of course he is. And, you know, he's just changed the way he presented himself. And, but I really resent these guys, and many times they are the guys that'll be sitting down in the front row in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always hide, usually in churches. But, you know, and then they point to their church and say, you know, I'm always in church in the front row because I believe in God and I'm a good Christian. Uh-huh. And, but I don't know, like I say, my concern now is this is a purge. We're seeing a purge happening. And why are these specific people being got rid of? And why are they walking away without a fight? And even when you do see them putting up any sort of a defense at all, it's minimal. It's not what you would expect. Do you know what? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand
if
exactly
you didn't
what
do
you're
this.
Saying.
Yeah.
Due process.
So what?
Walk away. Prove. Let them prove themselves. If that, you know, prove it. Just don't,
yeah.
I don't mean, you know, I'm for the women, but still, you know, the shoe could be on our foot. Prove it. You know, that this,
yes.
The women, all these women said I did this, show me some kind of evidence.
Yep.
So, because
yep.
it couldn't happen to me if it was the shoe was on my foot, because they had to prove it to me.
Yeah.
Like I proved it to them.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Like I said.
Exactly.
This been going on, and I'm wondering when it's an ending on. It's continuing to do. I mean, every day is somebody new coming on, you know, where they've been
yes.
released from their job. So how long is
yep.
this going to keep going? What is going to be
yes.
done about this? So,
and what is going to replace these people that are leaving? That's what scares me. It's like we're
yes.
watching something being put in place, or the preparation for something to be put in place right under our noses.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Everybody's so caught up in the sex scandals, they're not looking ahead about, wait a minute. This is too much, too fast. And there's not the fight here that should be here. You know, the ordinary, even if a man is caught raping a woman, he'll still swear and be damned for days he didn't do it. You didn't see him do it.
Well, your president,
you know what I'm saying?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
the president,
there you go.
He ain't going nowhere. So why the others walking away
nope.
so fast?
Yes, exactly. And that's why I say there's something that's right in front of us that we aren't seeing because we're being distracted, you know, with all the salacious news and the reporting and who's resigning and who lost their job and all these big names, see, big names.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't run-of-the-mill people. These are big.
Mm-hmm.
These are names that get your attention.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
If you said Joe Smith down here at this factory was accused mm-hmm. of, everybody go, yawn, yeah, uh-huh. And but when you say Matt Lauer, you
mm-hmm.
say Al Franken,
mm-hmm.
you know, Roy Moore, you boom, you got everybody's attention. When you mention
yes.
some movie star, but well,
mm-hmm.
we're tuning in now. And I think it's a statement on how society, and particularly the younger generations, what they call millennials, have been conditioned to view this as news. To view this, and they always hear just this part of it. They don't hear your story. They don't hear
no
your
man.
Story.
No
now, all they hear is this part of it. But like I say, it's like we're seeing something being made, and I still say all of this is a diversionary tactic. These people are being got rid of either because they wanted to retire or they have something on them. They said, you know, this is what's going to happen. If you don't voluntarily leave, we're going to out this. That's the odd thing about these people, too. Like with all this spying, Sheila, that NSA does on the whole country every minute of the day, just like this show, they're recording this show live. The FBI is, too, and so is your local Fusion Center. Every internet radio show recorded as it happens, and it's kept in case they want to assemble a case against you later on as evidence that you did
yes,
something
ma'am.
Wrong. Well, anyway.
Yes,
so... Yep. And so, you look at that, and here's these high-profile people. Everything we do, Sheila, everything we do is logged. Every letter we write, every email, every phone call we make, everywhere we go on the net is logged.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these people thought somehow they were exempt from this. And that because of who they were and the position they were in, that meant that they were exempt from this. And they're finding out that they weren't, because these are the people they target most. It wasn't here just 2 years ago, the Senate blew its cork when they found out that NSA was spying on them. They just could. They thought they were exempt from it. They're political royalty. How dare you? They were offended. But I'm not supposed to be offended if they do it to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a file on everybody, including them. And there's probably more in those files on these people we've seen walk off these jobs than you and I could imagine in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And when they need them to vacate or do something else, they just show the file to them. This is what we've got on. This is what we've collected on you. And it's called Human Compromise. And it's a program run through the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it since they were created. Hoover, of course, was the first who did it in earnest. And he did it to Martin Luther King, Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. He set up this whole system, J. Edgar Hoover. This man who was gay and a cross-dresser off the when he was not in the public view, of course, castigated gay people, and he openly detested women. And I don't know, Sheila. There's something so wrong in all of this. And when I think about your story at various times and about what you had to go through and the lengths you had to go to and the stress you were under in documenting and proving your accusations, and then to finally win, and then absolute silence on the national level.
Yes, ma'am.
Just absolute silence. Because I think if it wasn't for, like, people like you and me, nobody would know. You know, if it wasn't for me and other radio show hosts that had put you on, nobody would know. Hear this monumental, landmark decision, and we didn't hear it on the news. How come?
No, ma'am. You only heard it on national news the first day it happened. That's all.
Yep. Yep. And then it just slid off the radar, and because they had some sex stuff to report. You know how that is. And you know, I don't know. It makes me sick in my stomach, all of it.
Yeah.
Do you think anything's going to change, Sheila?
I cannot say, because, like I said, this has been going on a long time before we really was ever thought of, me and you. So
yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to stop. Because, like I said, it's a lot of them still out there because the men thought that nothing could happen to them. A lot of them.
Right.
You know, and then, like I said, a lot of women put themselves in that position to open the door for a better promotion and everything. So a lot of them got, you know, some of them got caught in that the ones that were doing it and the ones that was caught into doing it, you know. And a lot of them was letting them still do this because they thought, well, nothing was going to be done about it.
Right.
If they
true
spoke
enough.
Out.
True enough.
And money
right.
is the root of all evil. They had to keep their jobs, so it was more important for them to keep their high-paying jobs and their names to report what was going on the job.
Yeah. And so, you hear that excuse a lot of times, Sheila, in various issues. Well, you know, I'm just doing my – I got a family to feed. I always had a family to feed, too, but I ain't going to hurt you to do it. If I have to hurt you to feed my family, I got to go find a different job.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like hearing that excuse. Well, I had a family. I got a family to take care of. We all do. We all did.
And I had to do a lot of them will say that. Well, I had to do what I had to do because I got to feed my family. I can't get paid much as I get paid on this job. You know, I've run across a lot of women
right.
like that. So that makes it
yes.
worse for the next person, you know, because they expect
yes,
to do the next woman like that. So that's what's going on, you know. Once that door opened for them, they continued and build themselves up where he was almighty, you know. So it wasn't nobody
yes.
going to do nothing or
yep.
say nothing. But now the floodgates open, and a lot of them jumping on that bandwagon now, even though they might be the cause, put themselves in that position for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I don't
yep.
know.
There always is that element in things. There always is that element in things. Like I say, going back to Trump's statements from those years ago, and they'll let you do it, too. And we've known women. You and I both have known women, no women now, that have done exactly
yes.
that. And
yes,
on the one hand, I understand why they did it. You know, because it was the only way they were going to get promoted or they were going to get that raise or something else they wanted. On the other hand, I feel, why would you sell yourself short? Well, if you don't value you, and if this is what it took for you to get that position or that raise, as quickly as they gave it to you, they'll take it away.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? They'll take
exactly.
it away as soon as something better
yes,
walks
ma'am.
In the door.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
ma'am. But I'm looking at these 20 and 40 years ago stuff. Way back,
yep.
you know. Now they're
yep.
coming out now. So, oh, my goodness. It's yep. just a lot. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
to me.
And imagine now. Now, in your own situation, Sheila, in your own situation, if you had not documented like you did, if you had just come out and made these charges and say, well, yeah, you'd have been laughed off the rail yard.
Yes. And,
you know what I'm saying?
And
you didn't wait till it was over. You started talking about it and making your complaints while you were still there.
Yes, ma'am.
Which added credibility to what you were saying. I'm not leaving my job. I didn't do anything wrong. I was wronged on my job, and I'm still on my job. And they came after you hard, didn't they, before you quit?
Yes, ma'am. They fired me twice, but had to bring me back because they had no cause for that. They did everything possible,
yeah.
you know, but like you said, I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything by the book of rules. So that's why I saw it was a problem, and I started documenting because I knew that day might have to come where I have to prove myself. So
yes, yep,
and that's important. But it seemed like that's slipping out the door where you don't even have to go to court anymore. The company's just paying you off
right.
now, you know, without fighting,
yes.
Whatever. So that's what bothers me also. Why,
yes.
you know, it took me 9.5 years, but it take you 6 months to a year, and you get paid millions or whatever you get paid without going through the
mm-hmm.
process. So,
right.
I don't know.
Right. And never having to prove the charges. See, that bothers me, and that sets up a whole nother paradigm for something, a place I don't think we want to go.
That's right.
I really don't think we want to go there where you can upend somebody else's life like this just by saying something happened
yes,
decades
ma'am.
Ago for which
yes,
you have
ma'am.
No evidence other than you said so.
Right. That's why
you're setting the
be.
Stage for something. Yep.
Yes. It needs to be a limit on these years.
Yep.
I mean, 40
and,
years, 20 years, 30, all of them, that's,
yep.
I mean, that's just, oof, I don't know what to say about that because you go all the way back for 40 years. That's
mm-hmm.
sad. And now you want to speak out?
It is.
So
yeah.
They need
yeah.
to do something fast, quick, in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of hearing about
well,
that.
Well, and that's it. Yeah. I am too.
I mean.
And, you know, that. I know what you're saying, and they will beat this to death in the media.
Yes.
They will beat it to death. And, you know, this actually started when Roger Ailes, big shot in the GOP, was accused by Megyn Kelly of
mm-hmm.
sexual harassment over a period of years. But apparently she had complained to the powers that be there many times and finally threatened a lawsuit, and that's the only reason they outed him. They, you know, they put him out of the organization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this is one of those Bible thumping right wing Christians, you know, that, you know, God this and God that, but on the backside of that, on his job, he can't mm-hmm. keep his hands off the women, it turns out. He molested or attempted to several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had paid off, just like you said, they had paid off several women
mm-hmm.
to shut them up.
That's
and
right.
they let this man keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then was Bill O'Reilly. Now, when you see a blowhard like Bill O'Reilly walk away from what is supposed to be the biggest, most successful cable news show ever in the
mm-hmm.
history of the universe and walk away without a fight, excuse me, the flags went up. What's wrong here? What is wrong
but
here?
But he got paid healthy.
And no fight. Yes, he did, didn't he?
He
yes,
got paid
he
healthy,
did.
And the women
and,
got paid healthy, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, but see, I see that. You could kind of see what was happening there. Was Fox News was so despised, I don't care if they claimed it was the top-rated cable news show. If you brought Fox News up anywhere, people started retching. They protested against them during, you know, the 2008 elections, and just because they were so blatantly dishonest, and
wow,
just so much crap was coming out of their mouths, and so, but like I say, when you see somebody like that who wielded a lot of power and was a big moneymaker for that station, just simply
wow,
let go, and he walks away and no fight. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh,
and but you see the revamping of this station now. That they're, you know, they're bringing in people that are more moderate. They're still trying to be flamethrowers, but they're more moderate in their conversation. And basically, it's just an exercise in watching enemy combatants go at each other. And but I don't know these women yet. And you always want to back them as a woman. You always want to back them because you've been there.
Right.
But don't wait 20, 30, 40 years and tell me you were too afraid to come out all those years, because that man you're going against is bigger and more powerful now than you ever thought he could be. So who's protecting you?
That's
who's
right,
protecting you? Who's putting the pressure on them? And why?
So,
and I think that's the bigger question here. The accusations aside.
Yes, ma'am.
There's something wrong here, Sheila. There's something wrong here. My spidey sense says there's something wrong here.
It's a lot wrong with the whole...
But we're down to about three. Yeah. Yeah, there is. We're down to about 3 minutes, Sheila. Did you have anything you wanted to say in closing? We've had a good conversation here, I think, and a very honest one. Did you have anything you wanted to add on?
Yes. I would just like to tell the audience that whatever you're doing, you're running into a position that you, in the workplace, always document and protect yourself. And make sure that you have all your documents correct. Don't wait 10 years later and write it down. Start when it first happened and start documenting.
Yes.
And educate your girls,
and who
your children.
Yes. Yep.
Prepare them
for
the
workplace. Well, and that's the other thing, too, Sheila. A lot of these young men coming up have seen their fathers. They're copying their fathers. Or they're copying the activity, the behavior of people they see in the media. And so what do they show these kids? They show these celebrities doing actually just, yes.
Everything.
One of the most obnoxious shows that I ever saw, and I caught my girls watching one night and just went after them about it, was called The Bad Girls Club. And I told my granddaughter, I said, see, you could be a reality star, too. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, all you have to do is get drunk and get full of drugs, dress like a tramp, and then start duking it out with somebody else that's equally drunk and drugged up. And you can do it on TV. You'd be a big star. Isn't that what you want to be? I said, can you imagine how those girls' mothers feel seeing this? I said, the shame they must feel. But they have been trained to think, and you're being trained to think, that this is the way to act, that this kind of behavior is okay. This is how women act. No, it isn't. No, it is not.
No.
And I said, you know, you can't watch this anymore. I refuse to let you watch this. I eventually unplugged the cables. But we've got about a minute left here. Sheila, I want to thank you for coming on. I love having you on. Most of all, because I think I probably admire you. You're my top five women I admire for what you've done. And the way in which you did it. And as Sheila said, document, document, document. Document as it happens, right down to what the weather was that day, who you were working with, what you were working on, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the circumstances were, document it.
60 seconds.
Because you may need it later on. Wait 20, 30, 40 years and come out and say, oh, he did this to me. Do it now. Do it now. Do it while you're in the fight. Sheila, thank you so much for being my guest this evening. And we will have you back again. You know we will.
and thank you for having me, Marty. All right.
Always. All right. And everybody who tuned in, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and attention. And give me some feedback on what you think about the conversation tonight. I'd be really interested in hearing it. If you've got questions about what's currently happening in politics and media and even those stinking movie stars, drop us a line and let us know. And for everybody else, thank you. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you.
And good night.
Good night.